Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
All right, the Warriors take control of this best of seven series. They beat the Clippers 113-105. In game four, they now lead L.A. 3-1 with a chance to close it out Wednesday here at Oracle Arena. Klay Thompson, brilliant in the first half. Kevin Durant, brilliant in the second half. And the Warriors defensively solid again, holding the Clippers to 42.5% shooting, doing a nice job on Gallinari and keeping Lou Williams under control, too. And it was just a real good, solid win for the Warriors tonight, Guru, and it's about that time we're starting to sniff the Warriors-Rockets series.
Yeah, and you mentioned KD and Klay, rightfully so, but the Warriors team is so diversified that I'm looking at Iguodala and Looney. They contributed big time too, Steiny. They had the biggest plus-minus, and they came off the bench. And Klay Thompson started off hot, scorching, and then KD, I kind of say he closed it from an offensive standpoint, and Draymond Green did what he did. Andrew Bogut fouled out. You don't like to see that, but 21 minutes, and all in all, Steiny, they got a commanding 3-1 lead, and they can close this baby out Wednesday night here at Oracle.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is the Warriors Wrap-Up presented by Realtor.com, your home for home search. You want to talk about this one? We can. Klay, terrific in the first half again. Durant, very, very good in the second half. Steph Curry struggled. He was in foul trouble again. Shot just 3-for-14 from the floor. But the Warriors show that one bad performance by a player won't derail them. And that's because they've got so much talent on this team that they're capable of picking each other up. That's what happened today. And they didn't need Steph Curry to put on one of his shows. For the Clippers tonight, I should say this afternoon, rookie Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, very good tonight.
Yeah.
25 points. He got him off to a good start, but just not enough help right now for the Clippers. And I think they're going to be a team, obviously, looking for a superstar in the offseason to sign in free agency.
Yeah, the list is about good four or five, Steiny, guys that could change the complexion of what the Clippers are going to do as an organization. But Gallinari, Steiny, all season long I've been in awe of how he's played. But the Warriors are so fast, they can switch. I just think, you know, the defenders are, you know, foot speed. They're faster than Gallinari. And that had a role in his 5-for-20 tonight. You know, he wasn't that great. But let's just put the rat on the table. We talked about the game two collapse at home, and the whole world was talking about Lou Williams. And tonight, Steiny, 2-for-10. You know, he had 12 points, but he was a minus 18. And I'm not saying he played bad, but he's going up against some rough riders in this Warrior defense, and it's why they're back-to-back champions. And if he doesn't go, you kind of look around like, where are they going to get the scoring from?
888-957-9570 is the number. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. Warriors take a 3-1 lead over the L.A. Clippers in this first-round series, and it looks like they're on a collision course to play the Houston Rockets, who are up 3-0 against the Utah Jazz. And if the Rockets and the Bucks both close tomorrow, tip time for the Warriors-Clippers on Wednesday will likely get bumped to 6 o'clock local. But if either of those series are still going on, then it's likely to be a 7:30 start. That's from Anthony Slater of The Athletic. So don't hold him to that, but that's the conventional wisdom at this point in terms of when the Warriors would play on Wednesday. Of course, Game 5 Wednesday. and we'll see if the Golden State Warriors can close it out. Andrew Bogut again tonight. He fouled out, but before he did so, 21 minutes, 8 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. And, you know, when I look at Andrew Bogut as having fouled out, I actually don't look at that as a bad thing for Bogut, because that tells me he's active, he's not letting easy buckets go, and I don't mind when he gets in foul trouble, because he usually takes smart fouls. They usually take buckets away when he does that. And, you know, Andrew Bogut still is showing he's got something left in the tank.
Yeah, Steiny, he does. And 4 of 7 from the field. And I've noticed they got like a little play that, you know, once he gets it deep down in there, Steiny, you might as well count that bucket. That little turnaround left little hook shot, can I call it that? It's money. And it's like it's the last option for the offense, if things aren't going to good, get it to the big fella, and he'll deliver. And again, you talked about it earlier on Warriors Live that, you well, JD did, 25 to 30 minutes. Might be a tad bit too high, but 21 solid minutes tonight, Steiny. And between him and Looney, the Rockets or whoever they play in the next round and the rounds after, they got their hands full.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Warriors Wrap-Up presented by Realtor.com. Your home for home search. You can also reach us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. And the Golden State Warriors once again take a 3-1 lead over the LA Clippers. The Warriors played a solid game again tonight. And really, if you look at it, they've played 4 games. They've played 24 minutes that were questionable. But other than that, they've been playing pretty well this series. Another first quarter in which they got off to a 10-point lead. They've led after every first quarter in this series, which is more good news. And let's go back down to Staples Center and take a listen to Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson.
The ball was just finding me. I didn't do anything special. I was just getting open and knocking down shots, playing in a good rhythm. So you see a few go in, and then all you need is a little space. But give credit to my teammates. I got a lot of good shots off offensive rebounds and all shots within the offense. So it's not like I was doing anything. Just more volume, but nothing I don't do usually, just try to get open and shoot that shot.
This is that early start game in L.A. How locked in were you guys trying to just be ready for this early on?
Oh, we have our eyes on the, you know, other teams playing, and we see Houston being up 3-0, chance to close it out. We didn't want to extend this series any longer because we know how grueling the playoffs can be. We already let one slip away, so tonight we came in with that mindset to, you know, put our, you know, foot on the throttle and not let go, because we let go on game 2, and we won't do that again the rest of the playoffs. I really believe that.
TBJ of Hoops and Brews. Klay, when you're in those situations where you get hot in the first half, I believe you had 25 in the first half, what's your mentality going into the second half? Is it more so to continue to play within the flow, or is it to kind of just be a little bit more aggressive?
Yeah, it's definitely the former, just play within the flow. I'm not good when I'm forcing shots up. That's not my game. I got to work off my teammates. I got to play within the offense that Steve has, you know, laid out, which has been great for us, I mean, since he's been here. And when I play within that flow, that's when I have huge nights, not just trying to go out there and hunch for great shots, but not settle for, you know, contested looks just because I've made a lot of shots in the first half. But to be patient and wear on the defense, let my other teammates get involved as well.
Klay, I assume you're referring to Houston going up 3-0, right? Was that part of the decision to just move practice early yesterday? Was that? I mean, it's not often you see an NBA team wanting to practice at like 9 a.m. on a Saturday.
I don't think so. I actually believe we had the 9 a.m. start time to get us ready for the day. I'm not a morning person, so it was a struggle to get up and practice that early. Felt like I was back at Santa Margarita. But it was fun, man. Anytime I'm playing Staples, I really enjoy it. And especially, I was so lucky as a kid to come here and watch playoff games, now be a part of it. It's a real joy for me.
All righty, that's Klay Thompson talking about the Warriors' 113-105 win against the L.A. Clippers. Klay with 32 points. He was 12 for 20 from the field, 6 for 9 from three-point range. He carried the Warriors in the first half, then turned it over to Kevin Durant in the second half, and the Warriors win this one 113-105. They're now one win away from closing this series out, and that game will be Wednesday at Oracle Arena, either at 6 o'clock or 7:30.
If you want to just, speaking of Klay Thompson, look at the totality and the definition of success under Steve Kerr with the Splash Brothers. Tonight, Klay Thompson hit a milestone, 2010 career postseason points. Steph Curry is the only one with 2,000 points in the playoffs in the storied franchise. Bastani, that's a whole hell of a lot of winning and points. And I guess we can call them the 2K brothers because that's a big deal. Only two in franchise history to get 2,000 in the offs.
Yeah, well, you got to remember the Warriors didn't go to the playoffs for a long time.
That might have something to do with it now.
Yeah, I'm sure they're up there in games played, too. Speaking of Steph, he struggled tonight from the field, just 3 for 14. 12 points, but he still managed 10 rebounds and 7 assists and 3 steals. So let's take a listen to Steph Curry.
Considering what we've been doing the last 2 games, played great defense. I turn the ball over, just got to get good shots on every possession. Just play hard. Our intensity was pretty solid tonight. Obviously, we expect them to go on a run, but this being a must win for them at home, and they did that. Third quarter, they played well. Close out the quarter strong, got a lead back. Clay and Katie were amazing all night offensively. As a team, we were locked in defensively on our principles. Make or miss, they're obviously really talented. You can't get up or down like that affects your energy that makes tough shots. And that's what we did all night.
I saw on your shoes it said no reach. Did that work out for you tonight?
It actually did. Besides the third foul, I didn't really put myself in bad positions. And in the whole second half, I was able to be aggressive on the ball, play position defense and not foul, and not get out of my rotation. So continue to focus on it. Good call, bad call, not put myself in bad positions. Yeah, Livis, Draymond, Bogut, KD, and then so me and Clay to rebound the perimeter. And we know Montrez is really good at trying to get extra possessions for him. Even Jermichael Green at times, and Pat Beverly crashes every possession, so we just focus on that, and we get in transition. That helps us a lot because they play a certain style of defense that tries to slow us down a little bit.
All righty, that's Steph Curry talking about tonight's ball game and how he helped out with 10 rebounds, not to mention 7 assists for Steph Curry. Not one of his better games, but like great players, Guru, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. He found a way to get 3 steals. So all in all, while his shot didn't go down, he's still trying to find ways to help his team win.
Yeah, and he did that. 3 of 14, not exactly how you draw it up coming out. 1 of 9 from deep. But Steiny, he didn't get scared. He kept shooting. But what I want to talk about is kind of a common theme in this series is Steph Curry and the fouls. Looking forward to the next round or whoever they play, would you go at Steph Curry or do you think he's getting a raw deal in regard to some of the ticky-tack fouls that some have said he's, some have been laid on him during this series? Because if I'm the Rockets, I'm trying to go at him. If we can't stop him, get him off the floor is the next best thing.
Well, that's what the Rockets did last year. They went at Steph Curry and tried to at least tire him out on that end of the floor to maybe make him less effective on the offensive end of the floor. Just by listening to Steph Curry tonight after that game, it didn't feel like he was upset with the officiating at all. It sounded like he knew he'd committed 2 fouls and got himself into early foul trouble, which took him off the court earlier than he wanted. But, if you write on your shoes, no reach, something tells me that means you've been reaching. So, again, I don't necessarily think I don't necessarily think Curry thought the game tonight was poorly officiated. But he didn't shoot the ball well, but it didn't really matter. It didn't really matter because the Warriors win 113-105.
Yeah, and unlike the first three games of the series, the Clippers came out. You could tell it almost was like they were getting eliminated tonight had they lost. Stoney, they looked like they had it in regard to desperation, but it didn't equate into points. And another first quarter, they're down 10. But then the Warriors up 9 at half. By the 9-minute mark, up 8.5, by the 9-minute mark of the third, they're down 5. Did you once think to yourself, this one might get away from the Warriors? Clippers got hot from 3, 5 of 5. But the Warriors, I felt like they'll remind the Clippers who they are and what the Warriors do and what they're trying to accomplish. And it's a three-peat, we'll run you down, and the Warriors did.
Yeah, and I never really thought that the Warriors were in any trouble tonight. That run, to me, is expected, especially on your home floor if you're the L.A. Clippers. So I never thought the Warriors were in danger tonight. And I thought the Clippers played pretty well, by and large. All right, Andrew Bogut is the Warriors' starting center these days. He finished with 8 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. Let's take a listen to Andrew Bogut after this one.
That was good. Obviously, we started the game the way we were supposed to. We knew that they were going to lie down. This is a team that's going to generally lie down. And they battled back, and they took the lead. And we had a really good finish of the third quarter and a really good start of the fourth quarter and kind of the rest is history. So it was a good full game.
What did that third quarter mean? How the Clippers have been resilient this whole kind of playoffs series with you guys. How did that kind of manifest?
They just battle. You know, you never get enough. Even though down 30, as we saw a couple of games ago, they keep playing. Beverly's a prime example of just continuing to play and do what he does. And they made some shots. They got a bit of a run. Shamet hit 2 threes in a row, and they kind of got they cut that lead to, I think, 2 or 3, and then they hit another 3, and then we're up, you know, going into the fourth quarter. So it's good for us. Like, this series it's been very good for us. Hopefully we progress. But they've pushed us and they've shown us different looks and different things that we can work on going into hopefully a deep playoff run.
You guys had a huge rebounding.
Yeah, we know, you know, they're active on the boards for the most part, but they weren't really small. They started the game very, very small with Green at the 5, so we knew we had a rebounding advantage, especially for me, to get some easy offensive rebounds. And we did a pretty good job for the most of the night.
The Warriors with a 49-33 rebounding advantage against the Clippers, and where that really manifested itself was in shots taken. The Warriors took 89 shots tonight compared with the Clippers, who took 80, and that's the battle. The Warriors say they want to win every night. They always want to have more attempts than their opponent, and they feel like when they do that, chances are they're going to win the game. And not coincidentally, second chance points, Warriors 19, Clippers 8. And look at the difference in the ball game. You could make a case that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, backbreaker, Steiny. And also, too, I'm looking at Lou Williams again. Only 10 field goal attempts, Steiny. And, you know, that's their guy. If they're going to win, you need him to get hot. But, damn, he can only muster up 10. So what that tells me is what I saw. The Warriors just team defense, but also, too, Iguodala suffocating, and it's hard to get a good shot off against a good defense. Better yet, defender.
Yeah, the Warriors are defending, that's for sure. They've defended this whole series. 85 points in the second game of game two would be the exception. Other than that, the Warriors have been very good at that end of the floor. And with the exception of Williams and Harrell, a couple stretches of a couple games, I think the Warriors have done a real nice job of limiting the Clippers. And when the Warriors come out and defend, they're very, very difficult to beat, that's for sure. Andre Iguodala tonight, 10 points in just 26 minutes. And you mentioned him, Guru. He looks like, and we had heard Steve Kerr talk yesterday about he believes that Andre Iguodala could play well after next year, which is when the end of his contract is. But he looks to be playoff ready, that's for sure.
And if you look at his body, you could tell whatever he's putting in it or how he takes care of it or who works with him in that regard, it's working. And, Stanley, I got to tell you, I don't think Steve Kerr was just talking. If Andre, you know, puts his mind to it, I mean, he doesn't look, you know, as old as he is in regard to NBA years. And, dude, I mean, I think moving forward, once they close out the Clippers and it's the Rockets, wouldn't you put him on James Harden? I mean, that's a compliment in itself is what I'm saying to you.
Are you going to start him?
No, he would come off the bench. That's still up in the air, Steiny.
Well, he'll get
Hampton's five, man.
I mean, he'll get his share, no doubt. Klay Thompson will get his share. It will be interesting to see whether, if at any time in that series, Steve Kerr does go to starting Andre Iguodala instead of Bogut. Remember, Cousins, the last time the Warriors played Houston, actually had a real good ball game, and the Warriors won't be with DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, for the rest of this playoffs. Excuse me, for the rest of the playoffs, most likely. Draymond Green tonight, 10 points, 6 rebounds. I'm sorry, 10 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. And again, to me, the thing that's most important when it comes to Draymond is just one turnover. So that makes 19 assists and just one turnover in the last two games, Guru.
Yeah, and it feels like it doesn't feel like I'm watching it. He just has an extra gear. And now I'm going to the panels. The LBS is tiny. I mean, he looks fast. He looks like he could go 15 rounds if it was a prize fight, and he's looking for the action. You know, he probably paced himself during the regular season. Probably times he didn't have that extra gear, but he has it now. And when he has that, stripping the ball out of guys that are right up under the goal, he did it to Gallinari a few times. He's a problem and just a pleasure to watch.
888-957-9570 if you want to jump in and talk about Game 4. Warriors 113 and the Clippers 105. Golden State now up 3-1 in this series. And I did think it was interesting. The one thing that Klay Thompson did address in the post game was they see what's going on with Houston, and they don't really want to give them kind of a head start into the second round where they have a bunch of days off and the Warriors don't. And so you really did get the sense tonight, Goo, that the Warriors wanted to win tonight, and now they want to close out Wednesday. And then we push our chips into the middle for Sunday's game one, assuming everything continues to go to plan.
Yeah, I'm calling it the thriller in Manila. And the reason I say that, Steiny, is it's a prize fight. This is what we've been looking for, and some can make the argument once the Rockets and Warriors meet up, it is the NBA Finals. But we always hear about respect your opponent. I appreciate Klay Thompson talking about what the Rockets are doing, because that's got to be a natural thought to have. Like, hey, if we don't handle business, and, you know, they may get 4 or 5 extra days to rest up for us, you know, that would be an advantage. I'll use the tennis lingo for you. So I liked it. Klay came out and said that, and the Warriors get to win, handle business Wednesday. Bam, we may see next weekend the showdown start.
888-957-9570 is the number. This is Warriors Wrap-Up, presented by Realtor.com, your home for home search. Warriors 113, Clippers 105. Warriors now on the brink of advancing to the second round. They need a win Wednesday to do so. That game is at Oracle Arena. That start time will be either 6 or 7:30, so pay attention. That will depend on some of the other playoff games around the NBA, but Wednesday night will be Game 5. All right, when we come back, we'll head down to L.A., talk to John Dickinson. You're listening to the Warriors Wrap-Up Show, presented by Realtor.com, your home for home search.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search. And the Golden State Warriors take a 3-1 lead over the L.A. Clippers. They can put this thing away Wednesday at Oracle Arena. 888-957-9570 is the number. You want to talk about this? Let's go to Vic in San Bruno. What's going on, Vic? How you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. So tonight was refreshing. Nice to see a close, tight game from both sides, from both teams. And I think that tonight was, you know, I've been a diehard Warriors fan for many years. And when KD first came and there was rumors that he was going to join the team, I was kind of on the fence. Like, we really don't need him. you know, we have a really good thing going here. And, of course, the two titles after he came was great. And I just feel that these are the type of games, these are the type of series that we need in order to convince him that he's going to make a difference. Because what I feel right now is KD feels that he's not getting the love from the other people, from the other fans on other teams. He's been critiqued a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get a tight series like this, or, I mean, this series is pretty much done, but we need Houston to take us to seven, or we need a Western Conference final, either whether it be Houston or another team, or even NBA finals, take us to game seven, and Kevin Durant makes a difference. That's going to be the edge that we need in order for KD to stay. Otherwise, he's going to feel like, hey, what I'm doing here is not appreciated or it's not recognized. And I feel that this is the type of game, this is the type of...
Oh, we lost you. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Basically, you're saying that Durant almost needs to put his imprint on this postseason so that, I guess, to prove that this team needs him and that he's important to this team. I'd say he's pretty much done that already.
No doubt.
Now that he's a two-time finals MVP. But I will agree that a night like tonight, he goes 12 for 21, scores a lot of points just effortlessly.
Four-point play, Steiny.
Scores a lot of points when you don't even have to call a play for him. So he's invaluable in games like this. All right, let's head down to Staples Center and talk to our main man, JD. JD, you there? What's up?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Initial thoughts from this one.
Well, I think the Warriors, you know, it was the Klay Thompson show and the Kevin Durant show, really. Klay early and then Kevin Durant down the stretch. And I think, you know, as this game went on, the Clippers had opportunities to win it, but it just – the Warriors were able to get big stops when they needed them. I felt in transition. And Doc Rivers pointed this out. You know, they're 4-on-1, a 3-on-1, a 2-on-1. That the Clippers came away with no points on three different instances. And I think the Warriors being able to survive that and then go down on the other end and score, you know, the Durant four-point play was huge that you know, pushed the Warriors' lead, doubled it as the Clippers were making a run there late in the second quarter, pushed it from four right back up to eight. So I thought that was big. And just the consistent defense, you know, for the most part, the Warriors played at a very high level both on Thursday night and this afternoon defensively. And I think they made it hard on the Clippers to score. And the Clippers were a little bit better, I think, overall defensively in this game. But it didn't matter because the Warriors continued to play at a very high clip of their own.
JD, it's almost criminal the richness that the Warriors have in regard to their offensive repertoire. I mean, here's Curry not having a great game, and you watch Durant get hot. You watch Klay start it off. But what did you see from Looney and Iguodala? Because I was telling Steiny they were both plus 13, and they just mean so much, and it kind of gets lost when you got, you know, showcases like Durant and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Looney is in the rotation. Iguodala's in the rotation. You know, Livingston and McKinney are in the rotation. I think you saw Steve Kerr going for the end to this series, basically, today, with, you know, shortening the rotation, you know, no Quinn Cook. You know, it took, what, three, four games for Quinn Cook to play himself out of the rotation, which I think is something that we figured was probably going to happen at some point in this series. But, no, it's, you know, Alphonso McKinney's been, a nice little – he's made some plays for this team, a nice you know, little player at times. So, I you know, you look at it, and it was those contributions from the role players that have been huge in this series, and they were huge in the game today.
888-957-9570 is the number. You're listening to Warriors Wrap-Up as the Warriors take a 3-1 lead over the L.A. Clippers. They beat them today 113-105. At Staples Center, this is presented by Realtor.com, your home for home search. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Hey, Blair, what's going on?
You know, the Clippers gave you guys, like, the toughest I thought they gave you guys the toughest in, like, the end of the third. They had an 82 to, I forget the score, but it doesn't matter. The Clippers played a heck of a game, hell of a game. They were awesome at one point, and then they gave the game away to the Golden State Warriors, where the Warriors are a fantastic team, a great team, where I love watching, you know, I love watching a player like Curry, Klay Thompson. I know him because I lived in California all my life, where I lived in Rancho Santa Margarita, where he came from, Rancho Santa Margarita Catholic High School, where Klay Thompson, he's an excellent player, where you look at his background, where what he does. He goes mm-hmm. and does his awesome stuff back where he went to high school.
Hey, Blair, you know what? He mentioned that high school in the post game today, Santa Margarita, because he had to get up early to go to practice yesterday. He didn't like that.
Klay also mentioned Stein, he broke out of his slump by jumping in the ocean.
Hey,
like it worked.
JD, did we see Draymond Green with some kind of splint on his hand? Did you notice that at all?
You know, I actually didn't see Draymond post-game because I was making my way back and forth between the press conferences and also trying to grab Stephen Curry, who didn't come into the press conference room. So it was Durant in there. It was pretty chaotic downstairs. So I actually did not see that.
I didn't see it either. It was mentioned by, I think Nash said he thought he saw something on TV. Was wondering if you had seen it, but no, I hadn't seen it either. Let's go to Fillmore Mike. What's going on, Fillmore Mike? How you doing?
Man, great game. Great game, guys. Happy Easter.
Same to you.
Yes, sir. I was impressed by Iguodala and his game tonight, and then also his defense on Lou Williams. I'm pretty sure because Iguodala seems like the type of player that even though he's on your team, he probably, like, when he plays you in practice, he has, like, a mental Rolodex of how you play. And I really think his time, that, you know, they played together in Philadelphia for a couple of years. So, like, I think those times, that time in Philadelphia helped him out, and he's really figured out Lou Williams. You guys have a great show.
Thanks, Fillmore. Mike, appreciate it. Yeah, Iguodala is a smart defender. There's no doubt about that. It looked like he was given Lou Williams maybe a little more space out on the floor and trying to have Lou Williams kind of dribble into him rather than him playing him so tight on the perimeter where Williams went around him. But, I mean, he's right. Andre Iguodala is a great defensive player, and eventually he's going to, you know, he's going to
figure you out.
Exactly. or at least not let you get over on him game after game after game. All right, let's take a listen to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
Damn, decade ago was a long time ago, man. And I walked in this building to play my first playoff series against a one seed, I think. We were eight seed that year. And throughout the series, it was a rough one for me individually. You know, we took them to six. You know, they were champions, but it was revealing. You know, you just learn how to play. You learn what focus and preparation is at this level, especially in the playoffs, playing a team over and over again. So that work going into the summer was different. So I'm sure it's going to be the same for these young guys.
Farbo Destinashari, Clips Nation. Piggybacking off that last question, can you talk about what you saw from the Clippers young guys today?
Well, I seen Shea come out and wanted to impose his will on the game early. You know, 25 points, he got him going to start the game. He had 14 in the first quarter, I think. And knocking down the three, getting to the rim, putting pressure on our defense. I mean, he played with no fear tonight, and that's what kept him in the game most of the game.
KD, with a 3-1 advantage, how has your team intensified and going back home knowing that you can close it out?
Well, we got a couple days in between, so guys are just focusing on his off day and mentally and physically just kind of getting their minds and bodies right for game five. And, you know, we come out there relaxed and prepared and focused to, you know, play 48 minutes of solid basketball. I think that's just been our mindset.
KD, TPJ of Hoops and Brews. Today you had six assists, and you had three straight assists, I believe it was, to Klay Thompson. Can you talk just about your playmaking tonight and how you were on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, Coach called my number in the fourth to handle the ball, and that don't mean just score. You know, if I see an opportunity to get a bucket, you know, I try to take advantage. But Klay had it going. He had a mismatch, you know. And especially when the ball in my hands a lot, I know where to come around. So, you know, just try to get everybody else going and, you know, get our energy going from just touching the basketball. I think that provides energy when everybody touches the ball, and we got some stops on the other end.
Kevin, you guys were up 10 at the end of the first quarter. Clips make a run there at the end, and then right before the half you hit that four-point play. Just how big important was that to double that lead from 4-8 going into to the break?
I mean, any shots you can make going into the halftime, whether it's a layup or a four-point play, I think that's good momentum. You know, basketball is all about momentum and flow. And, you know, they had it after cutting the lead. And, you know, they'd have been up four going into the half. And then they came out the third quarter with even a bigger punch. So, you know, even though it was just 4 points, you know, it was good at that time for us to get a little bit more separation, knowing that they had some momentum going into the half.
Jared Davis, LA Sentinel. Katie, when the Clippers took the lead, the five-point lead, what kind of adjustments did you guys make to really capture that momentum?
Well, you just gotta correct the defensive lapses, you know, because when we locked in on defense, we're making guys shoot over us, and you know, we're a pretty tough team. So in that stretch, they were getting some wide-open threes, but we were also turning the ball over as well. So it's hard for us to set our defense up when we turn the rock over or shooting bad shots. And I think we had a 2-3 minute spurt of that, you know, and this team just looking for a crack and an opening for us to, you know, kind of relax and lay down just like game two. And, you know, but they don't stop, man. They one of those teams that's just going to make you feel them all game. And even when you go home after the game, you're going to be thinking about them because they're tough.
Last two or three, whatever.
And KD, Chris with the Fantasy Sports Cave. Today, Doc started Jermichael Green on you today, and obviously before he had Pat Beverly in games before. Does your mentality, your game change, or your approach change when you start the game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Jermichael Green is obviously taller. So where I initiate and where I operate from the floor has to change. And, you know, I can mix in, you know, playing the same way I played the previous game just a little, but, you know, to keep the defense off balance. You know, to not be predictable out there, you know, I got to use the full body of my offensive talents. And, you know, whether it's coming off screens, pick and rolls, being a facilitator, scoring the post, I just got to be ready to dive deep in the back.
Marty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Kevin, what was the key for your defense? You guys closed the game. I think you held them to 2 field goals over the last 8 minutes. In your mind, what was the key to getting that done?
Well, when we focus in and keep the ball in front, you know, make them shoot tough shots over us, and we're in solid shape. I think we did a good job of the Lou Williams pick and roll, forcing him to his right side and, you know, making him shoot the pull-up jump shot instead of getting to the paint and drawing guys. And him and Montrez having a nice two-man game. I think we kind of eliminated that a little bit with our pick and roll coverage. You know, and guys are helping out on the backside as well. So, you know, that's the game. That's the game for us. You know, these guys are, you know, can bust out and score a lot of points, especially with the shooters and the penetrators they have. So we just try to make them see bodies, make them see arms and hands, and, you know, make them finish.
All right, Kevin Durant. He finished with 33 points. He finished with 7 rebounds and 6 assists, and he was mentioning Klay Thompson there a little bit. And we were talking before the show about Klay Thompson and whether he's a player you worry about or you don't worry about. And sure enough, tonight, JD and Guru, he broke through with a 12-for-20 and 32-point night.
You knew it was coming. Yeah, I mean, it was just a matter of which game it was going to be. And the thing that I always go back to with Klay Thompson, guys, is he tends to do it on the nights where other players maybe don't have it. And you look at Stephen Curry tonight, not the typical Stephen Curry game. 12 points, 3 for 14, 1 of 9 from 3. He was in foul trouble again, which continues to be a problem for him in this series. But on a night where you don't get the typical Stephen Curry, you get more than the typical Klay Thompson with 27 in the first half. And it just helped keep everything on schedule and stable for this team. And I kind of chuckle. And Goo, you had me going a little bit in the pregame because we start looking for things that maybe aren't what we're used to seeing But the reality is it's only a matter of time, and this was the game where Klay Thompson won them the game today because he was, along with Kevin Durant, the best player on the floor for Golden State.
Yeah, and you look at this team offensively, and it's no wonder, fellas, that they're about to or trying to embark on a three-peat. But I want to ask you, J.D., about Kevin Durant. Once again, in the postgame presser, he said, my number was called, and tonight was the first time that he's had 30 points back-to-back since December 12th. Do you think, moving forward, Coach Kerr knows, okay, I just have to reinforce or reiterate to him or call his number, or do you think Kevin Durant has heard the noise and now he's just ultra-aggressive from here on out?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's going to have to be ultra-aggressive from here on out. Look, I asked Steve Kerr a couple of days ago at practice or at his media availability at the team hotel. I said, was there really anything different going back to game three as far as, you know, plays that you called? And he said, not really. Maybe a play or two here or there, but nothing dramatically different from a normal game. So to me, a lot of this is all on Durant and his mindset. Mm. He came out with the killer mindset in game three. I do think they went to him more. See, to me, it was more noticeable today even that they were going to him because Curry was struggling and they just felt like they needed him to stabilize the game down the stretch. I mean, they were also going to him when the Clippers were making their run, and he was keeping them afloat even at that point, too. So, look, it's a nice luxury to have a guy in your back pocket like Kevin Durant that can get anything he wants, whatever he wants. He really helped the Warriors close out this game. I mean, these are the games, these last two in particular, these are the games where I go, you know what, maybe there was a time where the Warriors could have won this or that without him or could win these games or those games without him. But these last two games, playoff games, he's needed to be great for them to win. And I think, we've reached a point where, as this team has, I don't want to say struggled, but as the league has maybe caught up a little bit and it's been more difficult for them to win at the same level that they've been winning at these last few years, Kevin Durant makes all the difference in the world. It's not a luxury anymore. It's a necessity that he's on this team and he's playing well, with regularity if they're going to make this run and complete this three-peat.
888-957-9570. Warriors wrap-up presented by Realtor.com, your home of home search. And, the one thing that I think with DeMarcus Cousins, one of the silver linings, I guess, of his absence is there are more shots now. And they don't really need to accommodate four players on a given game to get their shots. Without Cousins, you don't have to worry about shots out of the center position. And I think that matters, JD and Guru, because it lets you play with more freedom and less worrying about what everybody else is getting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's helped them actually on both ends, really. I mean, I don't want to get into DeMarcus Cousins was this or that, or he was hurting him defensively. But I actually even think on the defensive side, just Bogut's intelligence and his ability to, clog the paint and move guys around. I mean, I think it's been his screen setting on the offensive end, his passing, just little subtle plays that he'll make that, I think have been critical. They just look very comfortable with him on the floor on both ends. And I think, him being physically able to play as much as he has to this point has been a real find. It's been, as Steve Kerr said, a godsend.
The one thing I'm looking at also here, JD, is the offensive rebounding, or the rebounding in general. Warriors win that 49-33. But most important, the Warriors take 89 shots to the Clippers 80, and that's always one of the number one things that Steve Kerr looks at when he looks at the box score. When the Warriors shoot more than their opponent, chances are, they're going to win the game, and that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, and the Warriors also wound up having a nice turnover game, too. Only 13 turnovers. The Clippers didn't really turn it over either, but that plays into, you know, getting more shots. And it also is the defense. I mean, the Warriors essentially shot, 5% better from the floor tonight, 47-2 to 42-5. So when the Warriors are going to get more shots and make more shots, and when they can stay around, you know, under that 15 turnover number, if you're around 12 or 13 for the Warriors, I mean, that's like the perfect number basically for them in terms of, you know, not turning the basketball over. You do all those things for Golden State, you're pretty tough to beat. I do give the Clippers credit for hanging in the game. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was fantastic. But the Warriors have made life more difficult on Lou Williams, and Danilo Gallinari's been awful in this series. The Warriors have him a volume scorer, 20 shots, 5 for 20, and he hasn't really had it in any game. I know he got going a little bit at the end of game 2 when everybody did for the Clippers, but when this thing's all wrapped up, and I think it's going to be wrapped up on Wednesday in Oakland, I think you're going to look back and look at the job that the Warriors did on Gallinari, who coming into this series is their best player. I mean, Gallinari, I know there's been, you know, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell have been their best players in the series, and were the stars, obviously, of game 2 when the Clippers won in Oakland. But Gallinari's their best player all year long, and the Warriors have basically taken him completely out of the game.
Yeah, and there's a slogan when the playoffs start, fellas, and it's rotations shorten up. And tonight, no Bell, Jarepko, or Cook. Are you at all shocked? I thought maybe Jarepko could have slid in there, even Cook, when Curry got in foul trouble. Is this just one game, or do you think this might be what we're going to see moving forward, or no way to answer that right now?
I mean, look, Quinn Cook, I mean, where did we set the over-under? Three and a half?
Yeah,
two and
I believe
a half?
So.
in terms of when he's going to play his way out of the rotation, he earned himself an opportunity to get in there at the start of this series. But as things have gone on, Alphonso McKinney has been a more useful player. And he made some plays tonight. I mean, he had that little floater. He gets a steal. He gets a rebound.
Two big rebounds. Offensive rebounds.
Yeah, he has a knack, you know, and he, you know, not every game is he a productive player, but you know, when he just has a knack for coming up with some key rebounds or knocking down 1-3, it might be the only one he hits for a game, or hitting a basket. Steiny, I know you think he's much better around the basket than he is on the perimeter overall as far as his offensive game goes, but no, he's been a factor for this team in a small way off the bench. As far as the other guys, I mean, it remains to be seen if Jordan Bell, I mean, if he's going to play at all, you'd think he might play against the Rockets a little bit more since he did last year in that playoff series. But I just don't think there's a trust there for Steve Kerr with Jordan Bell. I am a little surprised Jarepko hasn't played more in this series. But, again, you can't play everybody, and Steve Kerr has really trimmed it down, the rotation. It's basically 8.5, 9 players, to quote Eric Musselman.
Well, the one thing that McKinney does allow you, or the ability he has, is he can help you without scoring. And you look sometimes at the Warriors bench, and I'm talking mostly about Quinn Cook. You know, he can only really help you if he's scoring, if he's putting the ball in the basket.
Mm.
So McKinney, you know, he's going to rebound a little bit. He's going to give you some size. He's probably going to defend a little bit. So I could see why Kerr may lean to him a little bit more if it comes down to who he's going to go with in that particular spot. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We got one more segment to talk about this one. The Warriors, 113. The Clippers 105, Golden State now one victory away from advancing to the second round. You're listening to Warriors Wrap Up, presented by Realtor.com, your home for home search.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors 113, Clippers 105. Golden State takes a 3-1 lead over the Clippers. They can close this thing out on Wednesday at Oracle Arena. And JD, game five coming up on Wednesday. It's so difficult to see a scenario in which the Clippers come up here and win, and yet the Warriors, this is the year where if they've lost a game like this, it's been this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost been more likely that they'd lose a game five or lose a game two than they would lose game three or game four down here, really. I mean, that's the way that this season has played out. You'd feel more confident that they're going to win the two games here or that they'd win a sixth game at L.A. If they had to play it than a game where you're in complete control of the series. This is the do-over game. For the Warriors, as far as, you know, you made up for game two winning these three or winning three and four down here, and now you go back and you can close it out. I think it's easier to avoid a letdown, though, when you can see the end of the tunnel and know that a win ends the series. So I think and a win gets you a day off the next day and a couple of practice days before you likely wind up playing the Rockets. So I think it's a little bit different than a game two scenario where you basically have one game to play with if you're the Warriors in every single series, and that was the game that they gave up. It's often been game three, but this year, for whatever reason, it was game two at Oracle, and then they came down here and got it back.
Let's go to Matt in Vallejo. What's up, Matt? How you doing?
How you guys doing? Happy Easter.
Same to you, man.
Yeah, so, I've been watching the Clips lately, and, you know, no disrespect to them. They're young. They're scrappy. But, you know, me and my roommates, we were talking about this. I think that this should honestly be a bye series for the Warriors, you know? They should, you know, come down there to L.A. and in Oakland as well, you know, handle business and just get ready for Houston. You know, that game two, you know, I thought that was unacceptable, you know. To me, the only team that can really beat the Warriors, it seems like, is themselves. And, you know, they really blew it on that one. This one, you know, the Clippers were fighting pretty hard. Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here, you know, biting my nails, getting ready for Houston. But I think Curry, too, he needs to step it up. You know, whenever he kind of is quiet on the floor, I feel like the game is a lot closer than it should be, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. When Steph Curry's quiet, chances are the game is going to be closer. That's kind of the way that goes. I don't know. I mean, my main man, Matt, there, maybe he's the quintessential fan that maybe he's expecting a little too much. I mean,
Clippers won a game already.
And they are a professional team, last time I checked. So, 3-1. They can close this thing out Wednesday. I think if the Warriors close it out Wednesday, I mean, I look at this series as a good one for the Warriors. I mean, the reality is, yeah, they lost a game, but pretty much they played solid basketball the whole series, but for that letdown in the second half.
And there
JD and Goo.
Yeah, there was a stretch tonight in the fourth quarter, JD, to where the Clippers got one bucket, and I thought it was due to the Warriors' defense, suffocating defense. Did you see it that way? Because, you know, I'm on social media and a lot of people saying the Clippers missed some easy buckets, but I didn't feel that way. I felt it was hard for them to create the Clippers a bucket, and, you know, you got to tip your cap to the Warriors' defense.
Yeah, I give the Warriors' defense credit. I thought the Warriors really challenged a lot of layups and plays inside, but I think the Clippers did still miss on a 4-on-1, a 3-on-1, and a 2-on-1, and they missed some layups, I think, at key moments of the game where they really either could have extended a run or maybe gotten on a run and kept the game close. By the way, if you guys can hear that siren a little bit in the background, they're lowering the massive Staples Center scoreboard from the ceiling down to about floor level, and apparently that's the alarm that comes along with it to let everybody know, hey, the scoreboard's being lowered, you know, just in case maybe something goes wrong. I don't know. I've never seen that one before, but yeah, I'm sitting here watching the scoreboard get lowered all the way down to floor level, and that siren goes along with it, apparently.
I guess my question would be, why are they lowering it?
Maintenance? I mean,
dusting off the top. They have to dust off the top of it, maybe?
They may have to. I mean, the Lakers are done. The LA Kings were one of the worst teams in the NHL. I mean, this is the last game the Clippers are playing in this building in all likelihood. So maybe they're maybe they're shutting it down for a little bit. To, you know, do a little maintenance on it.
All right, let's quick do play the game.
It's time for the play of the game. He got it! Now, here's the play of the game.
Curry. Guarded by Williams. Crossover. Pass. His pass deflected. Batted by Draymond. Grabbed by Curry. Up top, KD. Above the break, three. Three more for Durant. He's got 31 and a timeout for the Clippers. The Warriors lead by 11 with 1:53 to go.
All righty, that's your play of the game. And if we're still doing it, call in tomorrow at 10:30. I'm not even sure if we're doing it. Does anybody know? Are we still doing it? I can't remember. Yeah, call in at 10:30 tomorrow morning. Even if we're not playing, you can call in at 10:30 and I'll talk to you. 510 says Curry needs to step it up! Exclamation point. He leads the playoffs in scoring. It is true. Curry's been terrific up until tonight.
Amazing.
He was shooting 58% in this series. He was 17 for 29 from 3-point range. So I think we can cut Steph a break.
Yeah, relax.
For his 3 for 14. JD, 30 seconds left. You got anything in terms of Wednesday you want to get off your chest?
I'd bet that Stephen Curry bounces back the same way Klay Thompson bounced back after a couple of poor games and the same way Kevin Durant did after everybody wondering what the heck was going on.
All righty. That's going to do it for Matt Steinmetz, for Daryl the Guru Johnson, for John Dickinson, Alex Scott, Nash Solomon. The Golden State Warriors win 113-105. They take a 3-1 lead. Game 5 is Wednesday. Warriors World Radio is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.